This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Day 3, round 4 of the NFL draft underway here. Welcome back to the TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest. Steve Geller with Deuce McAllister, Mike D'Antilier, Mike Haas with our wall-to-wall coverage of the Saints and the NFL draft. He can join us at the Rouse's Market, Power Boulevard, the official supermarket of the Saints. Waiting on new linebacker Danny Stutzman to be calling into WWL Saints Radio. He's currently doing a Zoom call with the local media at the facility right now, saying that he's pumped to be here. There's no better team. Also, the fact he was the only person to visit him to work him out was saying that Saints linebacker coach Peter Simon was there.
Yeah, and again, though, I think this is a good fit for this football team as they have in a little bit of a transition in what you want to call is a hybrid 3-4 defense that we're going to see from Brandon Staley. And then after that, those two running backs we talked about yesterday, the Houston Texans pick, Woody Marks. I saw him play so much, 3 years at Mississippi State and then last year at Southern Cal. And then the Chargers, Jaquez Hunter from Auburn.
Yeah, was it the Chargers or the Rams that took Hunter? Either way,
I thought it was the Chargers. We'll have Steve look that up.
It may have been the Chargers. I was excited for the pick. I've known him since he was in high school. Played at Neshoba Central up in Mississippi, right outside of where Fred McAfee is. And so I had a chance to come out last year from Auburn. Decided to stay. When he first got there, he was kind of splitting the reins with the Auburn tailback. And I can't even think of the kid. He ended up going to the NFL, got drafted. I think he was with Tampa. But Hunter is a physical player, not the tallest guy. We'll probably have to squeeze it a little bit as far as ball carry because he tries to run. Everything is – so Chris Ivory is probably who he wants to play like. But he's not
that big.
But he's not Chris Ivory size. That's what I'm telling you. he wants to play like him, and so he's got to learn. I can't run through every player. And it's okay to give a guy a juke or, you know, be able to get up under his shoulder pads. But I know back at home they're excited and happy for him because it's something that he's worked for really, really hard. And I tell you, he's probably like a linebacker for A&M with the horse. Well, he's not from LSU. With the horse was with Tampa, Philly.
Devin White.
He's like Devin as far as with the horses.
Lord!
I'm telling you,
wannabe cowboy.
Cowboy. He'll have nothing wrong with boots, but he'll have the boots on, and he'll have his horses, and he's a laid back kid. He wants to play football. So whether it's Mike, I'll tell you this: whether it's the Chargers or the Rams. L.A. is going to be a different world for him because that is like, wait, you know, where's the dirt? Where's the
– Okay, well, where do you go, Chargers or Rams, Mike?
It was the Rams.
It was Rams?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, but it's still L.A., so it's
– That's a little different world from where you grew up in the show, Mississippi.
Yeah, and so, you know, you're looking for the dirt. Where are the horses? And
he's going to say, where do I get my Justin Roper? Where's the Roper store?
He's definitely going to be looking for that. But
Woody,
so Woody played under – one of the reasons, you know, you talk about the ability to catch the football. Yeah. Woody played under Mike Leach, and Woody was considered the receiver out of the backfield. And, you know, originally I thought he was Mississippi kid, but he was actually from Atlanta, Georgia. And so you had another running back that was kind of the runner, and Woody could run, but they wanted Woody to catch the football. And so when he and Will Rogers, you know, Will Brandon, Mississippi, transferred to Washington, Will was the quarterback. I mean, it was almost like, hey, I'm going to just get it to you. You know, you talk about ISO routes, you talk about option routes, even swing routes out of the backfield. leaves Mississippi State, goes to SC, and the one thing that you see when you look at Woody, it's 210, but 4'5". And I'm talking mid 4'5". And as a running back, you know, particularly, he plays faster, but if I'm looking at that 40 time, I kind of go, man, what is this? And so
I'd flip that tape on and see just how good he is.
I agree with you, but a good football player, though.
New Saints draft pick, Oklahoma linebacker Danny Stutzman will be joining us very soon here on WWL Saints Radio. Stay tuned. First, we're going to go to our top of the hour news break. Stick around for more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage at Rouse's Market in Metairie on Power Boulevard. Be right back with more right after this on WWL. Welcome back into WWL's Draft Fest coverage. We are at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, official supermarket of the Saints. TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest continuing here with round four, getting ready for the Saints. Second pick of the day, and currently the black and gold pickup linebacker Danny Stutzman with their first fourth round selection. And we just had coming off the board to the Carolina Panthers, Ohio State safety Lathan Ransome.
And before that, man, a great story. David Walker, who's right at 6 foot tall, but you talk about a really good edge rusher. He was the Buck Buchanan Award winner. He was the conference player of the year. He started out at South Arkansas. He's from Stuttgart, Arkansas, and then transferred to Central Arkansas. And man, he was a dominant edge guy. That's all the Bucks need, somebody else to rush the quarterback. But that's who the Bucks ended up picking, David Walker. And the pick before then was Gunnar Helm, the big, tall, tight end, rangy guy from University of Texas. Mike, who selected Gunnar Helm? I saw it was Gunner.
Tennessee.
The Tennessee Titans, and that's a good pickup for the Titans because of the fact they need another weapon offensively for Cam Ward. Gunnar Helm, I thought, was an underrated part of the Longhorn offense last year, catching the football. So Gunnar Helm going to Tennessee. David Walker, I don't know how they're going to use him, outside linebacker, defensive end. I know one thing. He knows how to rush the quarterback.
It will be rushing the quarterback on third down. I mean, that's where he'll come in. And what's interesting, Mike, I think he was the FCS player of the year. What's interesting, though, if he is probably 2 inches, 3 inches taller.
First-round pick.
He's a first-round pick.
That goes to show you they look at those measurables so closely. And then Carolina getting Lathan Ransome, who we saw play so much. And finally, Jack Sawyer has come off the board here.
And of all teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And that's a – is that a fit or is that a fit?
That's a fit.
So Jack Sawyer, who we saw made so many big plays down the stretch for the Buckeyes, five-star recruit. They didn't know if they were going to play him at tight end or defensive end. Did they put him on the field, and then they figured it out. He's going to play defense for us. But, man, Jack Sawyer, big-time player, second-team All-American, 9 quarterback sacks last year for the Buckeyes. But a guy that seemingly every game he made a play to kind of tilt the field for the Buckeyes defensively.
Yeah, and then you talk about that defense being able to be added to it, you know, with Watt and the other picked up, was it Harmon, and then Hayward, Ironhead son. When you talk about it, you don't have to be a superstar. You know what I'm saying? You can just go and be a football player just because they have, I think it's Hightower as well.
Yep.
They have guys. And so now for you, you're just trying to get on the field. You're trying to get on the field, but they rotate them and they play them so much. For Jack, that's a fantastic situation for him. And to be able to go and learn, and you're in that 3-4 system, get after the quarterback, that's what it's about.
Guys, now time to welcome in the Saints' newest draft pick, linebacker Danny Stutzman. Join us here on WWL Saints Radio. Danny, congratulations. How's your day going, man?
It's going great now. Thank you guys so much, man. Pleasure to be on here.
Thanks so much. You're here with Saints legend Deuce McAllister, WWL draft analyst Mike Dettillier, and the voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss. I'm going to hand it over to Deuce McAllister right now for a question. What you got, Deuce?
Danny, first I want to tell you congratulations, and you know, and I just want to know how a young man from Florida ends up at Oklahoma and not one of the local state schools.
Yeah, so none of the schools wanted me, first and foremost. Didn't really have any offers at any of the schools around Florida. And he's kind of offended by that, but it's something I'm not used to by now. But during COVID, you know, kind of Oklahoma went above and beyond with the recruitment, you know, via Zooms. They never actually got to see me in person. But they took a shot on the kid from Florida, the small three-star recruit, and it paid off well.
Danny, this is Mike Haas of do radio play-by-play for the Saints with Deuce. You know, talk about the defense that Oklahoma ran, primarily a 4-3, but did some three-man fronts and you know, with the Saints probably with Brandon Staley moving or at least evolving to more of a 3-4. Talk about where your skill set is and what could be a 3-4.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in Coach Venable's system, you know, it's very multiple. There's a lot of different looks that we give. You know, if that's the three-man front or the four-man front, you know, I'm putting a lot of different positions. You know, there's been times where I'm up on the line, you know, doing different disguises, different coverages, or if I'm blitzing off the edge, you know, obviously, you know, I'm most comfortable, you know, playing behind the ball just as a middle linebacker and just making plays however I can.
Danny, Mike DeTillio, first of all, congratulations on coming to the Saints. And every week we do Tulane Tuesday. And so when Oklahoma played Tulane this year, I brought it up to Coach Summerall. Man, every time I watch that film, it's like they got you and your brother playing. It's like twins. Man, you were all over the field. And your instincts, to me, is the biggest trait for you. You know where the ball is, and you can get it in your head, get the body to tell, the head to tell the body where to go real quickly. And I think that's a big part of your game, understanding where to go. The second part of the question is, how much have you really worked on the coverage part of the game? Because I think you really improved in that area over the last couple of years for the Sooners.
Yeah, for sure. It's obviously, you talk about instincts, but there's a lot that goes into that. Obviously, when you look at, you know, the week to week, there's a lot of preparation before you even get on that field, you know, watching a lot of film, and then at the end of the day, you practice how you play. But, I mean, you're right. Those instincts are something you can't teach. I think that's something that, from a young age, something I've always had. I'm damn good at finding the football. And when you go to I'm sorry, I forgot your second question.
On the coverage part of the game, because that's such a big part of it today, not only playing against the run, but I thought you improved so much in the coverage part of the game over the last 2 years.
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously, you know, Coach Venables, you know, with all the different looks that we give, you know, I've been in a lot of different coverages, you know, if that's man or zone, you know, just playing different spots. And, yeah, I mean, every single day you're working everyday drills, you're going to improve on that. And, you know, every time you go 7-on-7, your scout periods, your team periods, you know, you got to try and get something out of it. So coverage has been a big emphasis. You know, I still think I need to improve. And obviously, there's a lot of different rules in the NFL that kind of makes it a little easier with a little less RPO game, but a lot more play action. And so I think I can still improve on that.
Danny, one of the things I wanted to ask you, were you one of the captains defensively or captain overall? And then was it hand signals or did you guys kind of, I don't want to say huddle completely, but how did you get the calls? Who passed along those calls to everyone else?
Yes, sir. So I was a 3-year captain. You know, I was a captain my sophomore year up until my senior year. And I really, really prided myself on that, just being a leader, you know, as a young guy coming in, making plays, and then earning that. And, yeah, in the college football, it's changing a lot. So it started off kind of being strictly hand signals. But, you know, as you know, teams, you know, figure those hand signals out, you can change as much as you want. But they got a lot of dudes over there on the other sideline that they get paid to figure out what those signals mean. So I think kind of as the year went on, we had to kind of switch to kind of a huddle-up defense because typically when teams played Coach Venable, they'd huddle as well, just kind of slow it down, kind of to, you know, take off our tempo that we play with on defense. But we were kind of dynamic with how we did it.
Danny, was there an inkling that the Saints had a lot of interest in you before they made that pick?
Yeah, I think with them being my only workout, you know, in this process, you know, Coach Sermon came to Norman. And so to kind of see him, you know, I met with him in Indy as well. I think there was kind of a little bit of idea. You know, my dad actually played with Coach Ireland back in college. And so, you know, there's a lot of interest there, a lot of mutuals. But at the end of the day, you never really know until you know.
Danny, Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak told me to ask you about all the hats you ended up going shopping. I know you were prepared and had your Saints cap ready for the Zoom call, but apparently you went out shopping, getting prepared for this moment.
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately I didn't get sent, you know, all 32 hats, so I had to make do, you know, had to stop at Lids a little bit. You know, they had 11 different hats, so, you know, kind of around a 33% chance that I picked the right one. You know, fortunately, it worked out that I got a Saints one.
Danny, you know, the Saints have picked two Texas players before, and I know there's a little bit of a rivalry between OU and Texas, but now teammates with two other guys that play the University of Texas, and you're an Oklahoma guy.
Yeah, I mean, I got the horns down tattooed on my body. You know, obviously, being from Oklahoma, it's in my blood not to like Texas, but at the end of the day, you know, they're now my teammates. You know, they're part of the family, part of the brotherhood. You know, I'm going to accept them. I'll accept any other man in that locker room.
Danny, a couple of questions for you, Mike Haas again. Jeff Ireland was a kicker back at Baylor. What position did your dad play?
He played tight end, but he punted a little bit in high school, so they kind of had a good relationship in the locker room, you know, kind of specialist to specialist a little bit.
And the second question, you come into kind of a unique situation with Demario Davis and Pete Werner. I don't know how much you know about the Saints linebacking. They did a lot of a 4-2-5 kind of, you know, two linebacker sets, and certainly going to be probably much different than that. So you have this opportunity to learn from, you know, a guy like Demario Davis, none better from a human being standpoint and also a player standpoint, but also the opportunity to probably get on the field. That's got to be very exciting.
Absolutely. You know, to have a veteran like that, you know, just kind of learn from. You know, you kind of got to mimic, you know, what's kind of given that success for so long in the NFL. You want to try and figure that out and pick his brain, you know, and be a sponge for all that information. You know, with the kind of a new scheme that they're going to be running, you know, you want to be kind of just take it all in, try and learn as fast as you can. And at the end of the day, they're not going to play. So put someone on that field they don't trust that knows their playbook.
And I got to ask you, special teams-wise, did you play on the core special teams, any at Oklahoma?
Oh, you're not playing on the field if you don't contribute on special teams. You know, you can't be a starter on defense and not play special teams. So, yes, sir.
Danny, curious, have you gotten to visit New Orleans? How familiar are you with this city?
Not very familiar. Never had the opportunity to be there. You know, we played LSU once. Unfortunately, didn't come out on top. So that was the only kind of trip to Louisiana I've ever had.
We have a tradition, the Who Dat Nation says a Who Dat chant for the game. I don't know if you've heard it before, but it goes, Who Dat, Who Dat, Who Dat say they're going to beat them Saints for. So for all the black and gold faithful out there, Danny, just asking you to give your first Who Dat to the fan base right now, please, with some enthusiasm.
Who Dat, Who Dat.
That's good. Well done, man.
Well done.
Good job, Danny. Congratulations,
bro. Maybe it was meant to be.
There you go. We sure hope so. Thanks so much for the time, man. And have a great rest of your day. Enjoy it and look forward to seeing you on the field here.
All right. Thank you guys so much for your time, man.
Thank you, Danny. Danny Stutzman, the new linebacker for the black and gold, selected here in the fourth round and now just waiting on another pick in this round for the black and gold.
Every time you bring a guy on, he tells you what motivates him. He told you.
Yeah.
None of them Florida schools were after me.
Nope.
None of them. Yep. And so he goes to OU instead, a crazy sort of COVID situation for Danny Stutzman. But that, you see, everybody's got a motivation in life. And he's out to prove everybody, man, y'all made a mistake not trying to recruit me.
And he is probably the, third or fourth guy that we've talked to with the enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit of fire to him. And so you can kind of see what they're doing with a lot of their draft picks. And not to say that they're in the past that they've picked maybe somebody that doesn't love football.
He loves football.
He loves football, and it's almost like at some point you go, hey, man, calm down. You know, hey, this is a walkthrough. You know, this is walk. We walking right now. But, I mean, he loves football, and so, you know, he should be able to help you be able to make some plays. And now I can see why, Mike, that you have 366 tackles over your career. I mean, because you're not making that many tackles or involved in getting around the football like that. If you don't have a little juice to you.
When we come back, we'll talk about another local guy from Holy Cross High School, Baron Sorrell, who ends up getting picked by the Green Bay Packers. But I know, Steve, you got to go to break.
Yes, sir. Pick 131 approaching for the Saints. We'll be back with more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage right after this on WWL. We are back here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, official supermarket of the Saints. Our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage continues. We are in the fourth round as picks keep peeling off the board, getting closer to the Saints' next selection at pick
131 overall. Currently on the clock, we have the Green Bay Packers after Jack Sawyer, edge out of Ohio State, just taken by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, the Packers picked a young man from Holy Cross High School here in New Orleans, Baron Sorrell.
Okay.
And, you know, again, man, he really made it up. Got coached by Bo Davis there, and who's now with the Saints. And, well, you saw the rapid improvement of Baron Sorrell there. And so congratulations to Baron, because, man, he was the guy when he left here. I wondered if he would get kind of caught up in the numbers of defensive linemen at Texas. But he certainly distinguished himself. And congratulations going to Green Bay. The L.A. Chargers right after that pick, Kyle Kennard, the pass rush defensive end outside linebacker from South Carolina. And then another Louisiana guy, Cleveland Browns select from Dutchtown High School in Baton Rouge, Dylan Sampson, the halfback. Dylan, man, 22 rushing touchdowns last year, the offensive player of the year in the Southeast Conference. But from right there, he broke of all Eddie Lacy's high school rushing record. Man, as he put up some big numbers at Dutchtown, and Dylan Sampson smashed all of that. And now Deuce back-to-back, so to speak, a little bit. That was a pick in between. They picked Quinshon Judkins and then Dylan Sampson. That's their young backfield for the future in Cleveland.
That's that young backfield for the future in Cleveland. You know, we kind of talked about, you know, hey, you maybe getting Nick Chubb some help, but –
you wonder if Nick's going to be there.
Yeah, that part right there, you wonder if Nick's even going to be there, you know, when you talk about drafting two young backs in the same draft class. And so one thing that you do know is Cleveland wants to run the football. When they were at their best, they were running the football and being able to, you know, kind of have some play action. Did take a big tight end from Miami. You already had Njoku as well. And so they've got some weapons. And, you know, defensively, they can kind of beat you up when they want to as far as with Miles. And so some pretty good playmakers, and good to see some of the Louisiana kids come off the board.
Yeah, and then the Washington Commanders. Man, I'd like to have the track team there. Not only a good football team, but they pick up Jalen Lane, who's a wide receiver return man. And if I had to pick four guys on the 4x400-meter track team for the Commanders, it would be Jalen Lane. He was so upset that he ran a 4.34 40-yard dash, because he thought he would, because he had been working and getting into the 4.2s. But now you talk about a big play guy for the Commanders, and also in the return game, Jalen Lane can help you. Man, God bless Jaden Daniels. He got some weapons around him, and he got a guy that can flat out fly now.
Well, one of the things, and we noticed, one of the things that Jaden Daniels, his throws is the deep ball. One of the best things that he has is the deep ball, and that's why Scary Terry was so important to him. I mean, he wasn't going to drop a lot anyway, but, I mean, when you can throw it deep like he can, I think that only helps you.
And I know with Lane, I know the guy that really had worked him out. And he was like, man, he was so upset that that all he did was 4.34. I said, what? All he did was run 4.34. And we saw his improvement as a receiver. Before, he was a bit of a body snatcher. Now you see him out front catching the football. The one thing I know with Jaden, man, he got some fire behind those throws. So you better get your hands out there and get it fast, not try to cradle it up against the body.
The Jets pick is in at pick one, number 30. The Saints are right after that, so black and gold on the clock right now.
And they pick an SEC guy, too, in Malachi Moore, the safety from the Crimson Tide, who was a very active football player, first-team SEC guy for the Crimson Tide last year. And the Jets, man, I thought their defense was pretty doggone good a year ago. I don't know what's going to happen at quarterback, how things are going to work out with Justin Fields there. But, man, they've stockpiled some defensive players, too.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, who knows quarterback-wise, you know, does it pan out? Can they kind of offensively do what they want to? But, you know, AG is trying to load up defensively and be able to get some guys in. You got a couple weapons offensively. We saw that earlier. But, you know, adding another safety to the fold up there in New York.
And Malachi Moore. Under two regimes, he was the team captain for Alabama, not only for Coach Saban, but also, you know, when Bork took over, he was the team captain again. So the Saints pick is in, and we're just waiting on it momentarily.
Yeah, the 131st pick in the draft. The second and the fourth round for the Saints, we just got a linebacker. It'll be interesting to see what's going to be this direction now in the position.
Yeah, because, you know, at this point, I think you have guys ranked higher than where they're getting good at selected. Because I guarantee you, Stutchman, they had ranked higher than where they picked him. And I think the same thing will happen here with this second, fourth round pick that they have. So we're just waiting for the official word on the Saints' second, fourth round pick.
Yeah, like you said, it is in, and the Chicago Bears now on the clock.
So we'll see. I'm interested because Deuce asked Stutzman. He was a three-year captain. And basically, Kelvin Banks, Tyler Shuck, Vernon Broughton, and all Jonas Anker were all captains. Right? At some point, whether it's games or season, end of season, MVP, which kind of fits with what, you know, this team looks for, the Saints.
And also, too, Mike, I think when you in transition, because this roster is going to be in transition over the next couple years, you want guys that have been leaders out there on the field. And even though it's a difference between college and the pros, you want that type of individual, that type makeup in your locker room. You want good football players, but also you want guys that can lead other guys and kind of coordinate with them verbally on what has to be done out on the field.
Danny Stutzman had a tweet just a second ago. Simply, who dat?
Well, he picked it up.
Exclamation point.
Yeah. Really quick. Didn't take long.
Didn't take long.
It was meant to be.
Well done, Danny. Well done.
And the selection is in, and it is a corner. Quinson Riley from University of Louisville. Man.
Two Louisville kids.
All I know is, man, Jeff Duncan got to be happy. Because I know Jeff Manning, being a former Louisville guy himself, he was a second-team All-ACC guy. Really good press cover corner. And last year, 13 pass breakups for him, which it was in the upper half, high half of it, and 15 interceptions during his college career and 39 pass breakups. He started out at Tennessee State. And, you know, this is part of the NIL and transfer thing that I think helps a guy, because maybe his development came in a little bit later. But Quinson Riley becomes the selection for the Saints at cornerback. And, again, every day in practice, Deuce, you look at the way Louisville throws the football, you up against really good receivers and guys that can chunk it downfield. So not only are you playing against it, you practicing against up-and-coming, kind of up-the-field type passing game.
You mean like Tyler Shuck?
Tyler Shuck.
Well, not only that, but it's really probably a pro-style offense.
And
the receivers. And so some of the route combinations that you're going to see, that's what you're used to. And so, you know, we knew coming into this draft that was one of the positions we talked about, safety. You know, the one that probably you haven't seen is the tight end and the wide receiver standpoint. But transferred from like you said, TSU. That's over with Eddie George and had you know, a really good year over at Louisville. And, you know, for him, you know, any of these guys, particularly at this point, you know, really, if you're not the quarterback, you're probably talking about, hey, I've got to be able to contribute on special teams, and I've got to be able to just figure out my niche, how I can get on the field. And so from a defensive standpoint, that's exactly what he's going to be up against and have that opportunity to do so.
So, again, the Saints have selected that cornerback. We talked about it so many times yesterday. Quinson Riley, 23 years old, started out at Middle Tennessee and then transferred over to Louisville. And he's a guy that is a ball hawk. And we talked about the numbers that Quinson Riley was able to put up those years at Louisville. And he wasn't watching. He was starting. And, again, when you at Louisville, there is a lot of pitching and catching going on when you're out there in the practice field. And you're going up against teams that throw the football quite a bit in today's world of college football.
Looking at the Saints draft now, guys, after this pick, we got a kind of a little bit of a low. Nothing currently they have in the fifth round, and things don't pick back up for the Saints now until round six at pick number 184.
Yeah, well, we miss our entire round unless they move up.
And I think they're going to be active. I would be surprised if they don't have anything in the fifth. And, you know, we always talk about, hey, you want to trade back, you want to trade forward. Well, you can't just trade with yourself. You got to have somebody that you can trade with. And the other part of it is, are you going to get value? What do I have to get up just to be able to get a guy, and how well do I like him? You know, and here's the other thing, after thinking about it and talking to some people, with those seven round picks, a lot of times it may be targeting someone that could possibly be a priority free agent.
Right.
So I may hold on and make that pick just because of how much guaranteed money I don't want to have to pay to a certain player, and I can get him at this slotted position. And so you may see some of that start to happen as well with some of those later round picks.
And again, I've had somebody question his size. He's a little under 5'11". He's, I think, 5'10 and three quarters, somewhere in that range. And that's sort of the normal size today that you get in corners today. Now you get somebody that's over 6 foot tall, you got something. That ain't a lot of those guys that's walking the earth that's over 6 foot tall that can play cornerback today.
Well, or a former receiver. I mean, a former receiver that's not getting any run at receiver position, you send him over there on the other side.
Yeah, you flip him real fast.
Right.
And so, again, Quincy Riley, cornerback, Louisville, and started out his career, Middle Tennessee State, and then transfers to Louisville, and really became a big-time player in the ACC. First-team All-ACC guy. I think he was second-team maybe as a junior, and then a first-team this year for the Cardinals, and the second Louisville Cardinal to be selected by the Saints.
Quincy Riley, welcome to the Houdat Nation. Coming off the board right after that, the Chicago Bears took Ruben Hippolyte, a linebacker out of MD. We're going to take a break with our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage. We'll be back with even more, so stay tuned right after this. Day three of TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage continuing here at the Rouse's Market on Power Boulevard, the official supermarket of the Saints. Two picks today already off the board for the Black and Gold in round four. Linebacker Danny Stutzman out of Oklahoma, and then Louisville corner Quincy Riley joining the Saints. Stutzman, the 112th overall selection, and Riley number 131. Now we're just waiting for, right now at least, round six will be the next pick scheduled for the Saints. That's number 184 overall, and then they have two more in the seventh. Black and Gold may be on the move, though. It's still plenty of talent out there in these rounds. It'll be interesting to see also where else this team goes. Still so many needs and I'm sure wants for this squad. But right now, this, you know, Kellen Moore's first draft class rounding out very nicely.
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes, you know, the Saints are one of the busiest and spend the top four or five most money on undrafted free agents. And so that kind of plays into what they do with round six and seven, because they spend about $1 million in guaranteed money on undrafted free agents. So that's a different ball game, right? Because that's the player gets to have a little more choice as to where he goes. Financially, it's actually sometimes a better deal than to be a seventh round pick, where right. where your signing bonus is $88,000, and that's the only guarantee that there is. So it's interesting to see what they will do with the six and two sevens, just because they've always been so heavily vested in undrafted free agents. That's where they got Rashid Shaheed, and not just where they got him, but because they spent some money.
Looking at the latest pick off the board, it is Utah State wide receiver Jalen Royals going to Kansas City. So a little more help for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, because he needs it.
You know. Of course, sure. He is 6 foot, 205 pounds. Royals, seeing here from CBS Sports at least, ranked the seventh best wide receiver in this class.
Interesting to watch, too, also what the NFC South is doing. If you just look at Tampa and Atlanta, I'm working on Carolina right now. So they've had four picks each, Tampa and Atlanta. And of the eight picks, one offense and seven defense between both of those teams. Now, Carolina's had a few more offense, but defense for both Tampa and Atlanta. Of their eight picks, seven on defense.
I'll tell you, they're bad. That tells you that both of them are bad. And the Saints, you know, that.
I mean, that's the area, too. You got to get better. You got to get better stopping the run. And so we knew somewhere along the line they would have to pick a corner here. And Deuce, just thinking about it with Quincy, I'm wondering if they will try to work him in as a nickel dime corner pretty quickly, because that's, I think, where he can help this football team maybe the most.
Yeah,
the quickest.
Yeah, well, I think that that's probably the vision they have for him, particularly when you want to go true nickel or in some of your looks or even in a dime situation. Yep. You know, being able to get someone like Quincy on the field just because he's got ball skills and he can handle some of those inside routes or at least slot receivers. And so that may be what they're thinking from a vision standpoint.
We'll be also talking to the Saints' latest pick here. Pretty soon we just got a text from the Saints, probably about 10 minutes or so, and we'll be able to talk to Quincy Riley and get his thoughts from South Carolina. So middle of South Carolina, not near the coast where it's a little breezy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. You know that area pretty well,
yeah,
don't you?
It's a little bit. I mean, I just from traveling. So it's forced acres, very small, but it's not cool. He's not getting out of that ocean breeze. So he's used to that summer humidity that he'll be getting here at this training camp.
And it'll get hot in Louisville, Kentucky, too.
That's right. There'll be no Irvine for a month this year, so it'll be back to the sweat.
What's your thoughts on the training camp situation? Because early on we heard Coach Moore say that, okay, training camp would be here, but he sort of left the back end open about the possibility of maybe spending some time back in California.
I think that's just what I've heard, and, you know, Deuce has heard the same thing, that they will spend to do a team practice with somebody, and we don't know the preseason schedule yet, but my guess is it'll be something like that, go back out there for a few days.
Yeah, I think that you go out for a few days. It won't be the whole month, Mike, so we won't have what was our room?
521.
The studio 521.
Studio 521, baby.
Studio 521.
That's right, you were living out there.
Yeah, to give you the reports of the day. We won't be able to do that, but I do think that they will end up going out there for a couple days. But it will be because you have a preseason game and you're practicing against a team for a couple days. And so, we expect training camp to be here in New Orleans. And here's the other thing I saw, the schedule. Release on May the 14th.
14th, yep. Yes.
And yep. Well, we know the schedule, but I guess the times will be released. And then when you play.
That's the key.
Yeah, you play, some of those teams will be released. And so we'll get that in a couple weeks here.
Hopefully no Christmas in Chicago for you guys.
Well you got Chicago, you got Buffalo. And quite frankly, Nashville in December, you just never know, right? It could be – so that's
now three. No, my brother lives in Nashville. They've got some pretty cool weather.
And a lot of travel.
Well, that's what I was about to say. The travel, that's what you kind of question, because if you get one West Coast game, you want that other one to be right behind it, because, you know, we did it a couple years where you were in L.A. and then you just went up to Seattle and stayed out there instead of coming all the way back across back to New Orleans.
And here's, I think, the other thing is that I don't see the Saints being a big Monday night, Sunday night team. Nope. Probably going to be a Thursday or Sunday night or Monday night road.
Well, that's what I was about to say. It depends on the opponent.
Opponent. Kansas City week 5 on the road. I don't see them as a home Monday or Sunday night, which means
– You may get one.
Right.
You may get one. I mean, because obviously television loves, you know, New Orleans and to showcase it in that aspect. So we may get one of the big Sunday night, Monday night game. But here's the other thing, and Steve kind of alluded to it as well. With more games going to Thanksgiving and Christmas, I mean – At some point, you're going to be one of those teams that are participating in that action.
Yeah, and it was announced, Goodell said, basically, going forward, there are going to be 3 games every Christmas from
it
now on.
It looks as though the Chiefs...
Well, the Chiefs are one of the teams.
Put their hands up and say, I'll do it on Christmas. I'll do that one. I'll take that one.
NBA, watch out.
Yeah. Well, it's been that way.
They already KO'd the NBA.
They tested it and went, uh-oh.
We in trouble, guys. Yeah. I just saw the Raiders pick Tonka Hemingway, another guy from South Carolina. He played in the interior, and he gave LSU a lot of trouble last year. And I said this last night, I'm still shocked. How LSU ended up winning that game? Basically, the entire South Carolina defense, other than one, looks as though they're going to enter the NFL. How the hell you didn't get into the 12?
the talent was there. I don't know who is the head as far as recruiting over there.
Well, he did a good job.
That's what I'm saying. The talent is there. You just put it together too late, it sounds like. I mean, because there is a ton of talent that is coming off of that roster for South Carolina. And then you go back and look, wait, what was the record? You know, they were not in the playoffs. playoffs? I mean, they were in a discussion at the end, but, you know, you didn't get in.
That loss to LSU, to me, was almost the death nail to them to not get in. And I'm still shocked that LSU pulled that game out. Same thing with Ole Miss. Ole Miss did everything but win the game. Because the only time LSU had a win, was leading in the scoreboard was when Nussmeier hit Kyron Lacy in the end zone in overtime. That was it. Ole Miss had sort of taken over at that point. Now the Tennessee Titans have picked wide receiver Elik Amemore. He was a guy that put up some big numbers at Stanford. He's a big receiver, too, a little under 6'2". Second team all ACC. I say all ACC. How about that Stanford in the ACC? But it is what it is today, and that's the world of college football. But Elik really put up huge numbers and nothing around him. I know when they played Stanford, I know who's going to beat me.
Right.
It's Elik. You know, it wasn't going to beat anybody else that was going to beat me. And, again, back-to-back, he's had some really good seasons for the Stanford Cardinals. That's a good pickup for the Titans.
Yeah, and we've seen the Titans be able to get Cam Ward a couple of weapons. We saw some picks earlier for him yesterday as well. And that's one I do like as well. I mean,
and he's a Canada guy, too.
Yeah, well, and the other thing that you see, he's got nice body control when you look at some of the film for him, and really smooth route runner. I don't know top end speed, how much he can take the top truly off of it, but he'll be able to give Cam Ward another weapon. And, you know, we talked about it with Tyler Lockett being one of those guys as well. And so they're trying to be able to make some moves up in Tennessee.
And so Seattle has just traded the next pick off to New England. And quietly, the Patriots, I think, have done a good job over the last couple of days, restocking that roster for Mike Vrabel. And, you know, Mike likes a certain kind of build in a player. Covered that all those years when he was with the Titans, and he would always tell me, I want the toughest guy. I want a guy that's going to fight. I want him to play the fourth play and the 34th play the same way. None of this in-between stuff. And, you know, kind of Mike has laid the law down in New England. Man, I don't know what y'all were doing before, what y'all did last year, but that's not working. Y'all going to do it my way, or y'all going to go play somewhere else? Mike Vrabel's one of those type of coaches. He banged the gavel, and everybody's sort of listening to so what Mike's got to say. And so I think quietly over the last 2 days, they have, and along with free agency, have done a nice job retooling that Patriots roster, which was as bad as it could get personnel when Bill Belichick got left go.
I got a buddy of mine who is a Pats fan, and he was texting me about the Will Campbell pick and hearing what Campbell had to say after the draft and just gushing over him. I'm like, you got a good one. Good egg over there.
Yeah, he's bad to the bone, Will Campbell. I mean, he takes practice serious like a game.
Right.
So if you fix it on practice and maybe kind of goofing off a play, you better not do it up against Will because he's going to take you to task.
San Francisco with the final pick of the fourth round. Like Baltimore, San Francisco and Baltimore both came in with 11 picks in this draft. They were tied for the most. The least was Minnesota with 4, but it'll be the 49ers who will wrap up the fourth round. Pick 138.
Atlanta going to have more than 4 picks?
They had 5. Fewest in franchise history. Then they got one more in the 7th, and they're done. 218.
So it's golfing night for them guys.
That's right. They're all out. Hey, they could go play 9 before they can pick in the 7th round easily.
Yeah. So we're waiting on the Patriots pick here. And again, the pick is in. We're just waiting for them to make the announcement on that selection. And we are right at the tail end of round number 4. The Saints do not have a pick in round 5.
The best fits, at least for what CBSSports.com, Jared Ivey, the edge rusher from Ole Miss.
And I like Jared.
Yep.
And Braden Swinson, the edge rusher from LSU, are kind of the top two people that they have, at least best fits.
The crazy thing with Braden is he had nothing on the resume. And I mean nothing until this year. And then all of a sudden, you saw this guy coming off the edge, and you were like, somebody block him. Because he was a real terror early in the season, and you saw a lot of chipping going on with Swinson toward the end of the year, and he was still beating that. And I you could have gave me eight guesses, and I'd have never picked Braden Swenson to be that type of guy this year, or last year, I should say, for the LSU Tigers.
Sit tight. We'll be right back with more of our TrainSouth.com WWL Draft Fest coverage right after this on the WWL Radio Network.